Radio Prague News. The Czech Republic has joined Great Britain in refusing to sign the EU's fiscal treaty. The Slovak Prime Minister has harshly criticised Prague's decision to stay out of the fiscal compact, and trade unions have criticised the Finance Minister's austerity plans for the coming years, saying they would stifle economic growth. The Czech Republic on Friday joined Great Britain in refusing to sign the EU's fiscal treaty aimed at enforcing budget discipline within the bloc. The Czech Prime Minister, who met with his British counterpart David Cameron ahead of the EU summit, made it clear that in its present form the treaty was disadvantageous for the Czech Republic in enforcing conditions and fines without allowing the country, which is not a Eurozone member, to actively participate in all Eurozone summits. He moreover stressed that he considered it far more important to deepen the common market for services and increase competitiveness of the 27-member bloc. The Prime Minister's decision to stay out of the treaty has divided the Czech political scene, with the coalition Topo 9 and the opposition Social Democrats strongly opposing the move. Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg, who is the head of Topo 9, made it clear at the summit he was deeply dissatisfied with the Czech stand. Meanwhile, Slovak Prime Minister Iveta Radičová has voiced harsh criticism of the Czech Republic's decision to stay out of the fiscal compact. Mrs. Radičová said she had urged the Czech delegation to reconsider its decision ahead of the signing, noting that in view of how the sister states had vied to get EU membership, it seemed dishonourable to back out at the first sign of trouble. The Slovak Prime Minister said the Czech stance was purely political and lacked any rational background. Trade unions have criticised the finance minister's austerity plans for the coming years, saying they would stifle economic growth. According to an analysis commissioned by the country's umbrella trade union organisation, the proposed changes would bring a drop in investment, soaring prices and growing unemployment. 24,000 employees from the public sector would have to be laid off, of that 17,000 teachers and 3,500 police officers. Trade unions are proposing a more gradual lowering of the deficit and public spending, suggesting that the deficit be stabilised at around 120 billion crowns. The finance minister has proposed a much faster pace of scaling down the deficit, which this year should not exceed 105 billion and is to be lowered by 42 billion crowns next year. The fate of reforms in the education sector remains unclear as a week of student protest actions draws to a close. Thousands of students around the country took part in demonstrations and happenings to express their opposition to a proposed government reform, which includes the implementation of university fees and which they fear would threaten the autonomy of universities and give more influence to political and economic elites. At a press briefing on Friday, Education Minister Josef Dobeš expressed regret that student leaders had been unwilling to meet with him to debate the controversial plans, saying that the street was not the place to gain information or resolve problems. However, student leaders have been calling for the minister's dismissal, saying he is deaf to their arguments and only wanted to hold the meeting for its media value. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should be partly cloudy to overcast, with day temperatures between 5 and 9 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Thank you for joining us. This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's program, EU members, with the exception of Great Britain and the Czech Republic, have signed the EU's fiscal compact. We'll have details on the Czech stance, and we'll have all the latest in business news. Of 27 EU member states signed the European Union's new fiscal compact in Brussels on Friday, but the Czechs were not among them. Prime Minister Petr Nečas, together with British Prime Minister David Cameron, have opted not to support the treaty, which is aimed at enforcing budget discipline in the Union and prevent meltdowns within the Eurozone, as was seen with Greece. The Czech Prime Minister called the treaty disadvantageous for the Czech Republic in enforcing conditions and fines without allowing the country, which is not a Eurozone member, to actively participate in all Eurozone summits. Moreover, Mr. Nečas stressed that he considered it far more important to deepen the common market and increase the competitiveness of the European Union. Here's what he told Czech Radio about the initiative.
I have to say that the Czech Republic, together with Sweden, the Netherlands, and Great Britain, are central to this initiative. To date, we have a strong, unified common market on goods, for example. The same is not true of services. There is great room for potential growth here within the whole of the European Union and individual countries, which in turn drives competitiveness.
The initiative towards greater competitiveness as well as other issues were discussed in talks with Prime Minister Cameron at 10 Downing Street on Thursday, before Mr. Cameron and Mr. Nečas boarded the Eurostar train to Brussels. The British Prime Minister was quick to stress the close ties between the countries that had decided not to sign the fiscal treaty.
Peter is a very good colleague and a very good friend, and Britain and the Czech Republic have an extremely strong, close relationship.
Personal sympathies between Mr. Cameron and the Czech Prime Minister aside, Mr. Nečas's refusal to add his signature to the EU treaty has not isolated him from criticism at home. He has drawn fire not only from the leftist opposition, but also from within his own coalition governments, namely from top 09 leader and foreign minister Karel Schwarzenberg. The latter has repeatedly made it clear he remains deeply dissatisfied with the Czech Republic's failure to sign. Unlike the Prime Minister, he suggests it will only hurt the Czech Republic, which lacks the obvious political clout, to say the least, of Great Britain, worrying it will leave the country woefully isolated. On Thursday, he took a broadly different tack from that of the Prime Minister, charting his own path to the summit to meet with EU leaders, including German Chancellor Angela Merkel, the Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg.
David Cameron is an excellent statesman, but he is looking out for Britain's best interests. Everyone else here is also looking out for their interests, everyone except for us.
The Czech Republic may still hedge its bets. Prime Minister Nečas has not fully ruled out that his country may add its signature at some point in the future. For the time being, though, the Czechs, along with Great Britain, are out, focusing attention instead on deepening the common market. And now we're going to turn to the latest business news, and for that I'm joined in the studio by my colleague Daniela Lazarova.
The winner of the 7th annual poll for the most absurd Czech bank fee has been announced. The poll conducted by the anti-fee watchdog website bankovnipoplatky.com found 40% of respondents from the Czech Republic and Slovakia voting for a fee imposed for the early repayment of credit loans. In second place, with 25% of votes, was a fee for using an ATM machine to find out one's balance, and in third place, with 16% of votes, was a fee for the generation of an electronic balance statement. During the organization's first ever poll, the winning fee was for incoming payments into one's bank account. In the second year, the most absurd fee was for taking out money from an ATM machine of one's own bank. Last year's winner was a fee for withdrawing cash via a teller at one's own bank. The annual survey is designed to highlight the problem of excessive and ridiculous bank fees levied by Czech banks.
A third of Czechs aged 25 to 34 work flexible hours, according to the labor news website Platy.cz. The site also found that this age group receives the greatest number of benefits from employers, such as extra vacation time or a laptop computer to use both at work and for personal use. Around three-quarters of all working Czechs receive extra benefits last year from their employers, according to a study by Profesia. The most popular form are so-called stravenky, that is, food coupons, which are used to purchase groceries. In second place are flexible work hours, while the third most common benefit are workplace education programs. And in fourth place are free laptop computers, followed by extra vacations, the ability to work from home, and the use of a company car. According to the Profesia survey, 23% of Czech employees do not gain any of these benefits.
While new Eurostat unemployment figures have raised alarm bells, the Czech Republic continues to fare relatively well in relation to its European neighbours. Eurozone employment rose to 10.7 in January, while in the entire EU, the figure was up slightly to 10.1%. Czech unemployment for the same period stood at 6.9%, the sixth lowest rate in the EU, with Austria having the lowest unemployment rate of 4%. Conversely, Spain has the highest unemployment rate of 23.3%. The Eurozone represents the Czech Republic's number one export market, with analysts expressing concerns that Eurozone nations may fall into recession in the first quarter of 2012 and that this will then have a knock-on effect for Czech exports.
The Czech Finance Ministry is seeking legislative changes which would result in the country being able to lure greater numbers of investment fund managers. According to the weekly Ekonom, the ministry wants to create a similar environment to that which exists in Luxembourg, which is one of the largest centers in the world for this kind of financial activity. Legislative changes would entice investment funds to set up shop in the Czech Republic before a new EU directive comes into effect in 2014, stipulating that all hedge funds, capital investment funds, real estate and infrastructure funds, as well as private equity funds that manage the assets of EU investors, must locate within one particular EU country. The new Czech plans would not see specific capital pouring into the country, as this would remain in free flow across global markets, but rather money would be made from the fact that the fund's administrative duties would be undertaken in the Czech Republic. According to one market analyst cited by Ekonom, if the Czech Republic administered just one-tenth of the funds that Luxembourg does, it would stand to make 16 billion crowns.
Budget cutbacks at Czech railways mean that on numerous lines, train drivers rather than conductors are selling tickets to passengers, reports Bravo. Of a total of roughly 6,800 services daily, around 1,500 are now travelling without conductors. In turn, this has led to a loss of passenger numbers, but according to Czech Railways spokesman Radek Joklík, the company has no intention of backtracking on budget-saving measures. Joklík also added that self-service machines have replaced conductors on many lines, but conceded that in many cases train drivers were now the ones selling tickets. However, this was only occurring in low-volume services where a conductor would not be financially feasible, he added. In addition to these changes, Czech Railways have opened up a tender to manage ticket vending machines, which they hope to install in the country's 80 largest railway stations by 2015. These machines would not only sell tickets, but entirely replace the need for staff by assisting with timetable and journey planning information as well.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the English language service of Czech Radio, where it's now time for our main feature this day, an edition of The Arts with Jan Richter.
Amanita Design is a Brno-based award-winning game development studio whose creations have become a huge hit on the internet. Their games combine elements of the technical world with nature in a way not seen before. Their signature game Samorost takes you to a universe composed of rusty parts of old derelict machines and mossy, gnarled stumps of rotting wood. In this edition of The Arts, we meet the studio's founder Jakub Dvorský. When I first came across Amanita Design and their successful game Samorost, I was totally captured by the following puzzle. The hero of the game sets out on a rescue mission to save his dog that was abducted by aliens. He eventually lands on the alien planet, but alas, the entrance to the underground is guarded by a sleeping robot who's snoring away. Now, how do you wake him up to open the gate? You look around and see a snail fixing some sort of piping with a hammer. What you need to do is get into its shack, boil a drink from the poppy hats growing nearby, have him drink it and wait until he falls asleep and drops the hammer. You then take the hammer and bang the snoring robot on the head. He wakes up, opens his chest and pushes a button in his bowels that opens the gate. One level of the game solved. The man behind Amanita Design is Jakub Dvorský, a graduate of the Academy of Arts, Design and Architecture in Prague.
There's a lot of inspiration coming from science fiction books and old movies and animated films from authors like Jan Švankmajer, Karel Zeman and others. Also a lot of inspiration comes from old computer games, adventure games. And most of my inspiration is from nature itself, from forests and some rotten pieces of wood and old machinery and industrial buildings which are rottening, or all these rusty things which I really like, old cars and such stuff like this. I grew up with computer games, so that's why I really like creating them. And I'm from artistic family, so it's probably somehow in my blood. I was drawing from my early childhood. And later I went to study to Academy of Arts in Prague, animated film. And as my thesis work, I created a simple flash game called Samorost, and that's how I get to computer games. I was aiming for creating some graphic design studio from early times, but after Samorost success, I realized that it's possible to live just from creating computer games, which was my dream, and it works still.
The Samorost game became an overnight success. Its name is difficult to translate. In Czech, a Samorost is a piece of wood, perhaps a tree root, that has an interesting shape and usually resembles either a face or some sort of an object. Jakub Dvorský takes pictures of interesting things he finds on his outings in the city and beyond.
Basically, I like to go to nature for trips, and I'm carrying my camera all the time with me. So if I like something, I take a picture of it. And I like old industrial areas and scrapyards and, of course, forest. And it's very interesting if you find some human object somewhere in the forest, which is for a very long time there already. So it's becoming part of the forest. And I like this process of dissolving human objects in the nature. I like older things which are somehow, even some people creations which are turning back to the nature by the process of getting older, and for example, rust on some metal things. It feels like some kind of moss on wood, for example. So I like it basically. I like the amount of details in each object which is old, because new things are boring.
Amanita design work got internationally recognized, and the BBC asked the designers to make a simple learning game for school children that would also be funny. The result was Question Out, which last year landed a British Academy of Film and Television Art Award nomination.
Question Out is a simple, short, educational game for kids 7 to 11 years old. And it's a commission work for BBC. They wanted to create something educational but still funny. So we ended up creating such a little surrealistic adventure game where you need to solve some puzzles, which are quite weird sometimes. And then you need to answer a lot of questions, which we get from BBC, and the questions are from some subjects from school for these kids. And I believe BBC put it on their website, and it's used in Britain for official education of kids.
Jakub Dvorský and his team are now working on their first full game, which is to be released later this year. It's called Machinarium, and it's about robots.
The story of Machinarium is about a little rusty robot who has been unjustly thrown out to the scrapyard behind the city. And in the game, he's coming back to the city and facing some bad guys from Black Cap Brotherhood and saving the city from the explosion. And at the end, he's also rescuing his robot girlfriend. And the story is kind of cliche, but it's not that important because it's a funny game and it's mostly about the puzzles in it. And the puzzles this time are much more logical than in Summerhurst or in our other games. So we are now focusing on mostly on creating great gameplay and great puzzles in the game.
Although the game is in the making, it has already won an award for its graphic design.
We have two awards from Independent Games Festival in San Francisco, which is the biggest event of this kind. And these two awards are most important for us. One is for Summerhurst 2, which won Best Web Game category in 2007. And the second one is for Machinarium, our new game, which isn't finished yet, but it already won this year Excellence in Visual Art.
And you've been listening to The Arts. That edition was written and produced by Jan Richter and was first aired in May of 2009. If you'd like to comment that or on anything else you've heard in today's program, please do so by writing to us here at the station. The address is english@radio.cz, or you can write to our street address, Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2, the Czech Republic. Now, though, we turn to our final portion of programming for this day, which is another edition or another episode of the ABC of Czech, which this time is hosted by Vladimír Tax and Dean Vuletic.
Thanks for joining us in exploring the Czech language from head to toe. We are approaching the end of this series, and this time we focus on idioms containing the word ni,
koleno,
or its plural,
kolena.
This word means both the joint in the middle part of the leg, or anything that resembles it, such as all kinds of bends. Kneeling is generally associated with humiliation or devotion, so the phrases
být na kolenou,
to be on one's knees,
padnout na kolena,
to sink down on one's knees, or
srazit někoho na kolena,
bring someone to his knees, do not need further explanation. More interesting, perhaps, are those expressions which are unique to the Czech language. One favorite is
má hlavu jako koleno,
meaning he is as bald as a knee. Or this one,
pro korunu by si nechala koleno vrtat,
which means she is so greedy that she would rather have a hole drilled in her knee than spend one crown. You will often hear Czechs planning their activities for when they retire. They will use the expression
na stará kolena
or on my old knees, such as in the sentence
na stará kolena si koupím dům na venkově,
I will buy a country house when I'm old. Sometimes when people feel too old to learn new things, they say
na stará kolena se už nic nebudu učit.
Another frequently used idiom is
lámat něco přes koleno,
to break something over the knee. It is used in situations when something doesn't work and we would have to force it. In other words, break it over the knee. To naughty children, Czech parents say
přehnu si tě přes koleno,
meaning I'll bend you over my knee and give you a good spanking. The word
koleno
or knee has another meaning in Czech. It is used in the sense of generation or lineage. In this respect, Czech is similar to Latin, where the word for lineage sounds almost identical to the word for knee. So if anyone is referred to as
bratranec z druhého kolene,
he is a cousin once removed. And that's it for today's edition. Until next time, it's goodbye.
Naschledanou.
The ABC of Czech, this time with Vladimír Tax and Dean Vuletic. And not much left for me to say either, except for naschledanou, or goodbye. Don't forget, if you'd like to look up more stories, look us up on the internet. Radio.cz is the website. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter if you'd like to take part in the discussion on some of the social networks. Bye-bye.